Grace, peace, and mercy from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The topic of our devotion this morning is the same as was read to you a few moments ago. Before I begin on the devotional aspect, however, permit me a comment or two. As most of you know, however, when I look into the crowd, perhaps you don't, today is St. Patrick's Day. Aren't too many people wearing green, and I suppose that betrays our ethnic heritage. The other thing I cannot help but note, and this is rather personal, was a year ago today, as I was coming to the seminary in the morning, going 45 miles an hour, a school bus decided to come onto my lane and meet me head on, and as a result, the good Lord spared my life, and it is my anniversary of being or having survived that accident. And I can't help but mention it out of gratitude to my Lord and Savior who permitted me to be around to this day and again share with you also God's Word. The theme for our text read to you a moment ago is Jesus Zeroes In. As I was studying the text, that's what very clearly came to my mind. Our text tells us that Jesus had set his face steadfast to go to Jerusalem. The time of his departure, of his crucifixion, was drawing near. And set his face toward Jerusalem is a kind of a Hebraic expression. In other words, determined to go to Jerusalem as he was now passing through the regional area of Samaria. The area that, of course, was not in favoritism with the Jews and vice versa. But nevertheless, as Jesus was passing through this particular area, he sent some messengers ahead, apparently to arrange for accommodations. And as I was studying this, I couldn't help but wonder if it might also have been something in addition to accommodations. You know, when Billy Graham comes to present one of his revival meetings, he has messengers months ahead preparing for him to come. And I couldn't help but wonder if perhaps something like this might not also have been present at the time of Jesus as he was passing through Samaria and wanted the messengers to prepare for them accommodations. However, the text primarily does accent the accommodational aspect. And we also note in the text that they were totally, completely rebuffed. The Samaritans would have no part of Jesus and his crowd. And again, that perhaps may not surprise us too much. And it must have hurt Jesus perhaps a lot more than the text that we heard this morning, because a couple of verses farther down, another one of the eager beavers, so to speak, says to Jesus he'd like to follow him. And having just been rebuffed, for example, by not getting accommodations in Samaria, Jesus said, "The foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has not a place to lay his head." This to me indicates that Jesus must have been rather taken aback. The Samaritans wouldn't have anything to do with him. Now why? Undoubtedly, like with you and with me, pride was probably a big matter in the situation. They weren't going to put up with Jesus and his followers simply because, well, what do we have to do with another ethnic group or religious group? Also, undoubtedly, it was due to ignorance. So frequently, you and I, as sinful human beings, border on the line of sometimes rebuffing Jesus because of pride and because of ignorance. If the Samaritans would have known that Jesus really was the Son of God to save them and redeem them from sin, undoubtedly he would have probably gotten a better reception. Pride and ignorance undoubtedly was very much at the heart of the rejection. But Jesus didn't only zero in on going to Jerusalem, setting his eyes steadfastly. He also, in our text, we note, zeroed in on James and John. James and John, you know, so frequently we see Peter as the guy who had some personality or some kind of problem, some kind of hang-ups. But James and John seem to have had a few themselves. Remember back in Matthew, in the 20th chapter, their mother approaches Jesus on her knees and said, "Why don't you arrange for one of my boys to be on your right hand and one on your left hand?" Whether these zealous individuals, James and John, put their mother up to it, or whether their mother made them zealous, for example, like in our text, after they were rebuked in Samaria relative to the accommodations, they come back and say, "Let us bring fire down from heaven and consume these guys." They envisioned themselves to be a modern Elijah. And then Jesus zeroes in on them. The goal of going to Jerusalem did not deter him in terms of the value of the people with him when they had some of their spiritual sights a little out of kilter. Jesus rebuked them. In other words, and some of the variant readings indicate that the Son of Man did not come to consume or destroy, but to save. Jesus, in his love, stopped, zeroed in on James and John to set them astray. That theirs was not to be a function of destroying people, but rather a function of bringing God's saving love and grace to them. There's a lesson for us here too. So frequently we in the church, when someone doesn't agree or hold perhaps to the correct doctrine, we so quickly tend, well, let's throw them out, rather than bringing them the word of truth and love and correcting and building them up in the faith. We need to zero in on people in that regard rather than on the process of elimination. And so Jesus zeroed in not on only going to Jerusalem where he would perform his mission, but he also zeroed in our text on James and John. And there's another noteworthy thing that we see in our text. Even after Jesus rebuked these two zealous individuals, James and John, we are told in the very last portion of the verse, and they went to another village, apparently to try all over again to prepare accommodations for him as they tried in Samaria where they weren't successful. Say what you will about James and John. They were rebuked, refused earlier relative to getting the high privilege of sitting with God, but they still kept a perspective in mind. They didn't take it personally, apparently, from all indications. They still had a higher goal in mind. They still apparently knew what they were all about, even though sometimes they got that a little bit mixed up. They didn't take it personally. They went and prepared and tried all over again. And so it should be with you and me. When you and I so frequently fail in our daily efforts of living a God-pleasing, sanctified life, and God's Holy Spirit reminds us that we have so frequently fallen short of that goal that we have set for ourselves and that He has set for us, we don't throw in the towel. We don't give up. As God's children, we move on. We try again, just like James and John did in our text. And when we do, we will enable Jesus in our day also to zero in. Zero in on his mission of bringing his saving message to all of us. May you and I, as we leave this worship setting, remember that Jesus zeroed in on Jerusalem to suffer, to die, and rise for our sins. And that he used people like James and John's, erring as they were, that you and I also can accomplish the same mission of zeroing in our day and age for Jesus' sake. May God grant it. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We will sing the last three hymns of the hymn we just sung.